Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is Hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. Ladies and gentlemen, we're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hey, man, it's the second hour on Friday. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? The good doctor jumps on the radio with us. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. His goal, his lifelong goal and mission to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. His book and collegiate series about to preserve the nation there as well. And more. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. Here we are at the end of another week. I don't know what's happening to this year. It seems like it's flying by, but the problem is it's just the beginning. But we're here so often, you know. It's wonderful.
The tale of truth shall continue, regardless of all those reality checks. Now, I got something I want to pick your brain on. Okay, there's a couple of topics I really need to get to with the good doctor, because you know what? If guidance is necessary, you got to pick the good doctor's brain on this thing, okay? And I got an email message from Rand Paul, good old Senator Rand Paul. And I disagree with what he's emailing me, and he wants me to be part of this petition and everything. Here it is. Dear Sam, this could change everything. I need your help. I need your immediate action more than ever before. Imagine that. He's never needed my help as much as he needs it now. Like, I don't like these propaganda emails, ladies and gentlemen. They're just bogus. Every election is the most important election. And every time you need me more than ever, doctor.
Well, they're really what it boils down to is build a panic, just get people all riled up, and then ask for money. I mean, that's really what
that's
it boils
right.
down to most of
That's exactly right. So here's what he does. He continues. He says, big labor's political stooges are now in control of the White House, the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. Now, I didn't know big labor stooges were in charge of the Senate. I thought the Senate was still Republican. Never mind that. But bad as that may sound, bad as that is, even more frighteningly, listen, is President Biden and Union Label Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, they're literally openly threatening to end the filibuster in the U.S. Senate. Oh, my. The boogeyman. Bad as that is, ladies and gentlemen, things are bad. But I'm telling you, Biden and Chucky and everybody, they're openly threatening to end. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? The filibuster. Dramatically weaken the centuries-old filibuster procedure in the U.S. Senate. Such an action, Rand Paul claims, would pave the way to ram into law big labor's most radical agenda. If the Democrats in the Senate got rid of the filibuster, they could repeal every state right to work law in the country by a single one vote majority with Kamala Harris the deciding vote. Sam, right to work hangs in the balance, and we are entirely at the mercies of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, and their cronies in the Senate. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is only too eager to cheer them on and ram their power grabs through the House of Representatives. Slim as our hopes may be, the only thing we have going for us, well, we might win in 2022 and 2024. Our only hope is to convince these politicians that voting to repeal the filibuster is disaster. It could be political suicide for them. Yes, it could. Oh, boy. Democrat senators must fear the ire of their constituents more than they love their big labor benefactors. That's why I urge you today, this very minute, to sign the petition to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Now we're going to appeal to good old Mitch. Wow. And your senators demanding that they preserve the filibuster. Yeah, got to have the filibuster there. The time-hallowed filibuster. Yeah. If the Biden-Schumer actions succeed, Congress will enact and Biden will sign the so-called card check bill, the labor law reform, and literally, ladies and gentlemen, they go on and on. It'll turn back the clock. It'll do this. It'll do that. It'll just be horrible. I mean, my gosh. Don't take my word for it. Speaker Pelosi has already rammed through the entire... Anyway, it goes on and on and on. It's this big old long. And at the end, I hope you will make a generous contribution, Sam, to help the National Right to Work Committee. Now, here's the problem. I support right to work completely. I reject forced unionism. Okay, so I agree with Rand's points. Okay, but they want me to, one, sign the petition, send it to my senators. Two, share it with my friends. Three, donate, donate, donate. Yeah, Sam, you can put in 100 or as much as 1,000. But first and foremost, Sam, sign it. Our future as a free nation depends on it. Sincerely, Rand Paul, medical doctor. Now, I look at this, Dr. Bradley, and I believe it's so full of dishonesty. Let me explain. I'm against the unions, the forced kind of unions. Okay? I'm against big labor. I am for the free market. But I'm not a, quote, filibuster guy. I don't believe in the supermajority in the first place. I don't see anywhere constitutionally the supermajority has justification at all. So on one hand, I don't want some of the things that Rand Paul says will happen. At the same time, though, I can't defend something that I don't believe has constitutionality. Let's start there, sir.
You know, I'm going to have to take a different position maybe in a little bit from you, Sam, on this. Let's go back to the origins of the nation. As you look at everything that was established with the Senate, for example, they were to be a deliberative body, more statesmanlike in terms of their maturity and so on. You know, they got to have a little bit of more age under the belt, if you that's kind of a euphemistic way of saying it, than the rabble-rousing House has. The House had its voice from the people. The Senate had its voice from the states. The states thereby had a seat at the table. And so much of what happens at the general government level that the states needed to have very much an input. During the administration of John Adams, of course, Thomas Jefferson was the vice president. Vice president was kind of relegated to an also-ran kind of job. And he sat there twiddling his thumbs. He was the president of the Senate. During his time as the president of the Senate, he put together the protocols, if you will, of doing business in the United States Senate. He's very, very meticulously reviewed how business was done in the Senate. And if you think of Robert's Rules of Order, it was a parliamentary procedure that was put together for the Senate. During the Jefferson time, what he put together was a protocol that basically said any senator can stop legislation until the full voice has been heard on the issues that are concerning that senator. So that was the origins of this, because the states needed to be able to say, whoa, 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 wait, 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 where are you going with this, people? So Jefferson's protocol of the filibuster, if you will, was even much more radical than what it is with the 60-vote requirement today. That is,
yeah, but hold on. It was different in its origins, though. Every senator had authority equally to take action as they saw fit to make sure that the real debate, the real discussion, the transparency has happened. Nowadays, we don't have that. We have this 60 majority, and we have senators that have literally, you're a lowly senator, such as a Rand Paul. You're a highfalutin senator, such as a Mitch McConnell. We have seniority. We have manipulations. We have power by committee. We have all these different things that change that game different from what you're talking about, right?
We have got a hierarchical structure that's been put in that has damaged what the origin was, actually, no question. But if you look at Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution, each house may determine the rules of proceedings. And so each house has done that. It's a constitutional authority to be able to decide how they're going to proceed with their business. Now, I am this 60-vote cloture thing, which gets so much in the way of the rabble, if you will, that are going along with the current organization of how our legislature is structured with these power mongers, whether it's the Speaker of the House or some rules committee or somebody that holds a sway, and basically the power of the gavel controls how it is. That's the problem. The issue of being able to slow legislation down to take a deliberative look at everything that happens and recognize that most things are unconstitutional. We probably are going to have to continue this after the break.
All right, let's start there when we come back, and I'm going to articulate what I'm saying because I understand the point of slowing down legislative reality, and I think that's a legitimate need that Jefferson focused on and Dr. Scott Bradley is pointing to. I'll tell you my problem with what we've got today in seconds. I agree that the Senate can make its own rules, but there's certain lines that ought not cross. I'll tell you how and why in seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so Dr. Bradley and I are digging into a very complicated topic that sounds simple on the surface, but the truth is it's very difficult to understand. Rand Paul says our only hope is to convince these politicians that voting to repeal a filibuster could be political suicide for these politicians. He then basically says our future nation, our future free nation depends upon it. And so here's my problem with the current filibuster rules. It doesn't treat senators equally. Certain senators have more power than others. And if you look at the balance between the House and the Senate, there was a check and balance. The House had more representatives based on the size of the population. The Senate, though, had two senators from every state balancing that power. The goal was to how to make the small states get representation and the big states to get representation. The reality was representation here. How do you balance that? I submit to you that the current cloture rules or filibuster rules have been manipulated now to reflect seniority and a 60-vote majority, but giving certain senators greater power than other senators. You look at Mitch McConnell versus Rand Paul. Mitch has real power. Rand gets to babble in the breeze quite often, but he doesn't really have any real power, comparatively speaking. I say that anomaly is the problem. Now, as Dr. Bradley talked about Jefferson in the beginning, each senator would have an equal authority to slow down legislation. I support that completely, but it's a different discussion. The Senate can make their own rules, but what they don't have the right to do, in my opinion, is upset the checks and balances and create this weighted reality to where a godlike figure and a junior senator, they're worlds apart in terms of their power, their authority, their ability to manipulate. Okay, that wasn't intended by the founders. So giving all senators equal ability to slow down legislation, valuable. I agree. And you could say that's even stronger than what we have now. I agree. But it also doesn't create a majority vote of 60 plus or whatever. I'm sorry, a 60 plus as opposed to a majority. Again, it's all manipulated. What we need is the states to have representation. The states used to control the senators. Now the states have no power. Thus, we got to somehow make up for it in this other manipulation. I think we're getting further from the truth with this filibuster, not closer. The Jefferson idea and states controlling their senators, I think, gets us way closer. Even though it seems more powerful, I think it's more honest and fair and gives each senator their elected authority as they were elected, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, the idea of states controlling senators is incorrect also. The states were represented in the Senate, but R.R. Livingston did a really magnificent review of this back during the debates on the ratification of the Constitution and recognized that the senators were there as representatives of the states. However, they needed to take a more broad view of requirements. Let's say, for example, that the New England fisheries were being shut down by the English, and it was an act of war, literally, that was being carried out against our English New England fishermen. And Georgia's going, no, we ain't going to war. That's a New England problem. Well, the Georgian senators needed to look at that as a broad national issue and perhaps vote to go to war. And R.R. Livingston used that as an example. But the fact of the matter is, this is not a democracy, people. And a move towards a majority rule in every single instance is ultimately and finally going to destroy that the blessings of liberty and the individual rights of the minority. And that's what the founding fathers were absolutely determined to prevent. And so the problem, I think, needs to be addressed with the foolish, disgusting even, approach to this hierarchical structure within the House and the Senate, where those that are in the power positions are basically ramrodding everything through. Look what would happen today. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, states, individuals, everyone would be put at risk if this thing was completely done away, because, as is pointed out in Rand Paul's letter, although maybe from a different backdoor kind of thing, if they had a 50-50 split, Republicans and Democrats, partisan kind of thing, again, the parties are a whole big part of the problem. Principle is the issue, and those that are in office need to uphold their constitutional oath, that sacred oath. But let's say it was a 50-50 vote, and Kamala decided suddenly, oh, we're going to have mandatory health care, or we're going to have mandatory vaccinations, whatever. It's absolutely absurd. All of it is wrong. There isn't a single solitary justification constitutionally for ramrodding things through based upon a majority vote. I would like to see the whole process slowed down. This idea of cyclonic force running things through the House and the Senate, this 60-vote cloture thing right now has a tempering factor with this, but I'm so concerned, and it will, that we're very much at risk of losing that and going with a 50-50 vote plus a Kamala Harris. You know what? It's going to go around and come around. There'll be someday, maybe if the Republicans ever grew a backbone, that someday the Republicans may regain control of both the House and the Senate, And then suddenly the Democrats are going to be crying out loud. And that's exactly what happened with when Harry Reid did away with the cloture process for approving members of the administration. And Trump got his people through with just over a majority vote. And it allowed Trump to put in some Republican-backed Supreme Court justices. They've been wailing about that, lamenting that. It'll go around. It'll come around. It'll bite everybody. We need to take a deep breath, a chill pill, and say, this is the whole idea is not, you know, it's like the Mensheviks and Bolsheviks. Early in the 20th century, the Soviet Congress, the Socialist Congress, had a little piddly vote on some issue, and the Bolsheviks won. Bolshevik means majority in Russian. Menshevik means minority. So from then on, if you're going to be with the majority, the Bolsheviks, you know, you're going to be in power. If you're going to be with the Mensheviks, you're diminished in power. It's not a majority-minority thing. It's a principles-based thing. And if we could just get our senators and congressmen, our president, our governors, I mean, I don't care who it is, whoever holds office, to recognize that they have taken an oath to uphold a constitution, both in their state and in their national government, that says your limits and bounds are thus and such. You may not operate outside those limits and bounds. This idea of right to work, what a bunch of Bravo Sierra. The general government has no authority whatsoever to dictate labor law. None. Zero. Nada. And this idea that they can turn to some artificially contrived OSHA organization to mandate everybody's got to get a medical procedure on them. There is no authority to do that. In fact, the IRS, the BATFE, OSHA, NIOSH, FDA, you can take all the alphabet soup organizations, and they have created law based upon supposed delegation of authority from Congress and the signature of the president. It's unconstitutional to delegate lawmaking authority. We, the people, delegated it to the legislatures, the House and the Senate, and they are to legislate only within the bounds established by the Constitution. This whole process, we're looking at it, it's kind of looking through binoculars at the wrong end. We don't have a good view of what we're doing. We have abandoned the limited government, the checks and balances, the delegation of authority, all of those things that allowed us to be the freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous nation on earth. And I'm just so frustrated that we can't seem to understand we need to hold those that represent us to account based upon what they took an oath to uphold. They said, this is how we're going to do business. You allow us to do business this way, and that's how we're going to do it. It's an oath of fidelity to principle. It's like a marriage oath, if you will. If your spouse took an oath of fidelity and violates it 10%, 20%, 50% of the time, you'd get rid of your spouse. And that's what we need to do with our congressmen and senators. And
so amen to that. I agree. I agree that it's a fidelity discussion, and I agree that they have the right to make up their own Senate rules. That's constitutional. What's not constitutional in my mind is the system that they've created today with a 60-vote majority based on this idea that certain senators have greater ability to block and bring things to the floor and this and that and the other. And so things have changed over the years. Before the Civil War, we hardly ever used this. Now after, it's used more and more and more. And in the 1960s, and rise of the routine filibuster really happened in the 60s and 70s, they created a two-track system. We'll talk about that. So I don't have a problem with slowing down legislation. I have a problem with the way that it's built in now, and it manipulates against we the people. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
North Korea fired at least two ballistic missiles Friday, the third test in 2 weeks, just hours after criticizing a U.S. push for new sanctions over the previous launches. North Korea defended the missile tests as a legitimate right to self-defense. President Biden on Thursday expressed uncertainty on whether his party would be able to pass what Democrats call voting rights legislation through Congress. As roughly 80% of American voters want some form of voter ID, Biden's partisan voting rights bill does not include such verification. The president said he planned to end the 60-vote filibuster rule in order to get his partisan bill through the House. That seems unlikely at this point, as Democrat Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema oppose changing the filibuster rule.
And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country.
USA Radio News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Pennzoil Conventional, now $26.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and save big with Pennzoil Oil and Filter Specials at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Plus, earn double O rewards points on this purchase. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Talks between Russia and NATO have broken down with no results, leading to speculation Russia may invade the Ukraine. U.S. lawmakers tried to do something through legislation.
Senate Democrats have blocked a bill proposed by Senator Ted Cruz seeking to sanction companies tied to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. The measure failed to reach the 60-vote threshold required to pass through the chamber. The measure would require sanctions be imposed on businesses associated with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will carry gas from Russia to Germany within 15 days. Some Democrats voted against the bill as they accused Cruz of attempting to undermine President Biden's diplomatic efforts to prevent Russian President Vladimir Putin from invading Ukraine. Biden waived sanctions on Nord Stream 2, the Russian-owned and Swiss-based company for the pipeline project, as part of an agreement with Germany. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the idea to have full debates and to slow down legislation, I support 1,000%. The way Jefferson talked about it, the way Dr. Bradley's talking about it, I support completely. The way it's currently done, I don't support, though, because I believe that it's just greater manipulation using their rules against we the people. Let me give you an example. As the filibuster has evolved from a rare practice that required holding the floor for an extended period of time into a current routine 60-vote majority requirement, Senate leaders have increasingly used cloture motions as a regular tool to manage the flow of business, often in the absence of a, quote, even threatened filibuster. Thus, the presence or absence of cloture is not necessarily a reliable indicator of the actions of a threatened filibuster. Okay? So, it's always a matter of judgment whether a filibuster will be threatened or used or this and that, but it's a way to always just twist arms. It's a way to play games. Okay? And I want to be very clear. They call it the nuclear option sometimes, too. Hey, in 2005, a group of Republican senators, led by Majority Leader Bill Frisk, proposed having the, quote, presiding officer, Vice President Dick Cheney, rule that a filibuster on judicial nominees was unconstitutional because it was inconsistent with the president's power. And what we do is we just go on and on and on with all these rules that are undermine the intent, okay? What was the intent of the founders? And the answer is Dr. Bradley's completely right. It was to slow down legislation It was to make appropriate debate. Each senator had the ability to truly say, listen, we've got to vet this more. And now what we do is we put in rules. Like we say something like, hey, if a bill is written before it's going to be voted on, it's going to be released 48 hours or 72 hours before it's voted on. And then that's never obeyed. And on and on and on and on. And every time we go further from the founder's intent, we have to have new rules that take the place of the original checks and balances with these new manipulated checks and balances, which I submit to you are far inferior. Dr. Bradley.
Well, let's just take the Voter Act that's currently before the Senate. The original intent of the American Founding Fathers was that the states would control the voting process. And I can prove that. I know that time is probably used up on this subject. But the intent was for the states to control the voting process. And with the Article 1, Section 4 caveat that said that the feds could intervene if, in fact, a state was not holding, that was their intent, if a state was not holding elections because they had determined they weren't going to participate in the general government, then the feds could intervene. But everything that has happened since then has been a usurpation of that power to run the vote from the states to the general government. There have been voter acts of 1965, for example. There have been amendments that had that effect also. If, in fact, this current effort to reinitialize the 1965 Voter Act with, on steroids, if you will, the general government will assume complete control of the voting process from the states. If they can do that with 50 votes plus Kamala's, then the states would be completely eliminated from any administration of the Voting Act, and the people in the states would no longer be able to say, oh, no, we need voter ID. We need to have, you know the person, they come through the line. You know the way that the votes are going to be counted, the way they're going to be tallied. It will be basically a canonization of the 2020 election where there was so much shenanigans going on that basically the election was stolen, okay? So if this idea of saying, oh, no, majority rules, you're going to find some of these other institutional absolute requirements will be lost. The voting process is central. The integrity of the election is central. And if we give it to the bigger government has proven itself unworthy of that, and that was not in keeping with the Founding Fathers' process. So anyway, I think the process is we elect criminals and manipulators to office. We've got to stop doing that. But I know you've got another subject, Sam, you want to talk about, the Supreme Court. And
yeah, so really quick, we'll get to the Supreme Court in just a second, but I want to give you an example to make the point of the rules that I'm talking about. Okay, if we have a filibuster across the board, equal to every senator, as intended in the beginning, and then we have the senators literally elected by state legislative bodies, so there's a check and balance there. What we've done is disabled all these checks and balances, and then we put in Senate rules that change with the wind, that we want to take the place of, in my opinion, these sound principles. So I'm not for majority rules everywhere and a democracy idea. I'm just saying we're going about it all wrong, and we cling to these rules that get more and more and more manipulated over time, and we get further from the founder's intent, in my opinion. Let me give you an example. Budget reconciliation is a procedure created in 1974 to deal with the budget process. In brief, the annual budget process right now begins with an adoption of a budget resolution with a simple majority in each house not signed by the president, does not carry force of law. Okay? The Senate, they say, then may consider a budget reconciliation bill not subject to filibuster that reconciles funding amounts in any annual appropriations bills and the amount specified in the resolution. So what you've got now is you've got these certain things. Some things are subject to filibusters, other things are not, and this and that. I think that the filibuster has value. I just think the way it's currently implemented is a joke. And I think we pretend that these rules are great, and we ought to rely on sound principles based on sound efforts to accomplish the goal, not on these manipulated modern-day rules that give super party control, that give certain senators greater power than others, that literally applies to some legislative pieces and not others. Hey, if I want to create a filibuster on a budget bill, why can't I? Well, because there's a rule that says now you can't, Sam. See, we're moving further and further in my opinion, from the intent of the Founding Fathers is the point. So I'm not suggesting we just get rid of the current filibuster and just run away from it. I am saying, though, that we need to be very careful of how we look at this, because we're starting to look at, instead of sound ideas from the founders, we're just going further and further and further with this rule and that rule and this exception and that exception, and to where, if you're not very careful, over time, you'll just have more power to the few and less to the many. Anyway, final response, then we'll move on, Dr. Bradley.
Okay, what you've got with the budget reconciliation rule is a prime example of what happens without the ability to step in the front of a freight train and stop it. We have got multi-trillion dollar budgets that come through based upon a majority vote that has not been fully vetted, that has not been fully reviewed, and all of the issues brought forth, they've changed and manipulated so that, oh, we'll do this with just a mere majority vote. And what it will ultimately and finally do is, we've got these multi-trillion dollar budgets, even during the Biden era. It's not that old. That's been used during the Biden era to say, oh, we're going to go with majority rules. We're going to just do this on a, you know, a budget reconciliation thing. And they've manipulated that. They've destroyed the original intent, and they've walked away from the limits and bounds of government. So I think that's a prime example of what's wrong with losing the ability to stop a bill and say, whoa, 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 let's talk about this before we go ahead.
Right. The National Emergencies Act is another example. In 1976, gave much power to the president. And I don't know if you know, but when you put a joint resolution to determine an emergency, they've got a certain number of days they can go ahead and deal with that. Just so you know, that requires a simple majority of the House and Senate. You don't get filibuster then. So all I got to do is call an emergency and circumvent filibuster. See, sure, this 60-vote thing's a farce. We need filibuster all the time, not just in certain manipulated cases based on the modern manipulations of who has the greatest power right now. I'm not advocating to get rid of filibusters. I'm advocating that it's all manipulated and it's game playing, and it doesn't have the teeth or the intent that it used to at all.
And it is a manipulation of principle. And again, if we didn't have criminals in office that were violating their oath of office, their oath of fidelity to the plain English words of the Constitution, we wouldn't have these big problems. But there's always going to be a manipulation of power. That's just the way it is. It's a human nature to gain power and begin to abuse it. And so that's why Jefferson said, bind them down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And Tucker went on to say, you know, it's kind of a good thing when they violate their oath, because it awakens the voters to the fact they've got to remove them from office. We have stopped doing that, by and large. But basically what Jefferson wanted to do is bind them down from mischief by the change of the Constitution. And Tucker said, when they do violate the Constitution, that's our signal, get them out of office.
And I think the more we don't depend on these rules, we depend on filibuster being the general rule, would do better. But right now, raising the debt ceiling, for example, all they did is create a one-time waiver, and it only took 50. And everybody's like, oh, thank heavens we raised the debt ceiling. Well, they manipulated it whenever they want to anyway. So we need to make it to where you can't manipulate the filibuster.
Criminals.
It needs to be available all the time, anytime, to any senator equally.
And the oath of office should take precedence over all other shenanigans they're involved in.
Heard that. Anyway, so I'm not against the filibuster, but I am against the current rules and us depending on the way it's currently set up as our life savior. It's not true, folks.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my whole point of the filibuster is let's not just play games with the 60 votes unless we don't want it. Emergency, war, budget, let's jettison the filibuster with all kinds of rules and let's weight certain senators with greater power. Let's return to the original filibuster intent of our founders, which was to slow down legislation, which was to encourage debate, and which was to let the people know about what was happening so we could apply appropriate pressure when necessary for those who are standing against a simple majority. That was the intent of the founders, I believe. It wasn't to create all these modern rules now that are violated at every turn. Oh, the debt ceiling, we got to raise it. Let's go ahead and just waive the 60 majority rule vote now. Good. Okay, we got an emergency. Let's waive the... Hey, president shouldn't have people in foreign nations in war for more than 30 to 60 days. Waive that. We got to... And now we play games with rules. We're not dealing with the intent of the founders. The intent of the founders was to give every senator an equal opportunity to literally speak up and stop the vote and say, hold on, let's debate, let's discuss, let's get the people involved. Let's have a broader discussion than a simple majority. We've undermined that with today's current filibuster reality as it's manipulated by criminals against we the people. All right. Supreme Court blocks Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for businesses. However, in the dishonest agenda of the courts, they keep it for government employees that receive government handout money. That's a serious problem too, Dr. Bradley.
Well, indeed, it truly is. And I believe, and I, when that first came out, I was able to, I've responded to people that have asked me about that. And honestly, in the few minutes that are left, it would be difficult to fully elucidate the crossroads that we're truly at right now. What basically they said, if you take federal funds, now you've got to do this. Okay. So we're going to use Medicare and Medicaid as the excuse to have healthcare workers being required to have a vaccine, so-called. It's not, we all know that. But the fact of the matter is the government can control that. We've talked many times on your program about a saying we had when I was a kid: you accept their nickel, you accept their noose. And I don't know the origins again, but basically is you take the money, you let them put a leash on you, okay? And so here's what we're doing. The courts have recognized that if general government money is involved, they control the outcome. First of all, they have no authority whatsoever constitutionally to have general government money in healthcare. It is not allowed, period. End of discussion. However, since that's become the modus operandi today, they're saying, this industry, it's probably one-fifth or maybe one-seventh, I don't know, somewhere in there, of the entire economy of the United States is now going to have this manipulation of constitutional authority to require everybody that's in that has taken federal government money, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, is now under their control. What about banking? What about trucking? What about real estate? What about, you pick any industry, and what about students that take Pell Grants? the accepting the nickel and accepting the noose, we are going to allow, this is a slippery slope, we're going to have nooses around our necks. The general government has bought power over all of us by offering a bribe. Now, what my position is, that it's high time, and it was a long time ago, should have happened, where there were independent organizations established that do medical for all Americans. We'll go back to the way it used to be. The country doctor, the hospital that's run locally. I'm old enough, so I remember when doctors, physicians, hospitals even, they were run by Catholic Church, for example, or the LDS Church in Salt Lake City, you know, the LDS Hospital that was down there. All of these things were independent of general government control. And I believe we need to return to this. It will be somewhat disruptive. It'll be considered by most people to be a step back because they think they're feeding at the trough at no cost. But truly, the full offering of healthcare practices will become less expensive, and it will also become something that is less corrupt. There are hundreds of billions of dollars that are stolen every year through corruption of the manipulation of the Medicare and Medicaid. And it's your money. It's my money. It's money that's being stolen by criminals that have figured out a way to beat the system. And I'm just, this ruling is absolutely a devastating ruling in terms of what it signals for the future. You take federal money. You are now no longer in control of your industry or your life if you take federal money as a student. I mean, come on, people. Understand that this is a signal for where we're going with this. And businesses take federal money all the time. I mean, think of what's been happening with this so-called relief money that's coming with the pandemic. I know little businesses that have taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government in their program. What they're signaling is in the future, they will not be masters of their own destination. And healthcare, again, it's such a big target. It had to be controlled, and this is how they're going to do it. And this is one more step, or one more nail in the coffin, if you will, of our independence of our healthcare. And we could talk at great length through the protocols that are being dictated by government agencies that are actually murdering people in the hospitals today because they have protocols that say you will do treatment in this manner with medications that are killing people, with methodologies that are killing people. But they're being dictated, and the Supreme Court just cut the throat of the independence of the medical industry, and I really do believe, I'm praying for some courage. Now, I've spoken to some independent physicians and in their conventions and so on. There are people out there. We need to encourage it. We need to move towards it. We need to step away from this government control through being able to pay the way, if you will. This is extremely destructive. And Americans need to awaken themselves to a sense of their awful situation, because this ruling right now is a signal for future rulings that ultimately and finally will bode ill for our whole nation. So, yeah, I encourage the medical industry to rise up in rebellion against this, but most won't. The big industry that it has become is feeding at the trough, and the big institutions that are running our major healthcare organizations within the states are finding this to be a very, very lucrative business to be in. Billions upon billions of dollars are pouring into their coffers, and they're not going to turn their back on it. And someday, perhaps, there'll be an independent movement among physicians, and I hope it spreads to the whole nation in all businesses, too. So,
all right, so it was a 6-3 vote in favor of blocking Biden's mandate of businesses and vaccinations. However, the Supreme Court did allow national vaccine requirements for healthcare workers at medical facilities that accept Medicare or Medicaid. This potentially affects 76,000 healthcare facilities as well as home health care providers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that decision, believe it or not, was passed by a 5-4 vote. Now listen carefully, with Justices John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh joining the liberal justices. So they literally sold us out, and that's where the disaster comes. Richard Mack predicted this would be a very political ruling, a very nuanced ruling, and that's exactly what we've got. The bottom line is you should never have Medicare and Medicaid and the federal government involved there financially. But that, again, is what greased the wheels for these even conservative judges, supposedly, to join the liberals and sell us out. This is what always happens when we go back to these rules and guidance and da-da-da-da-da. Why do we even have government paying for Medicare and Medicaid? Well, now that paves the way for vaccination force. It's disaster, doctor.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And there are ramifications beyond the medical industry. If you read into their any other industry, or if you're in a given industry, if you're an individual, and you accept federal funds, so to speak, we get to control the outcomes. And that has never, never, never been the intent of the limited government that was established by the American Founding Fathers under the Constitution. We have strayed so far that people don't even realize what they're accepting as fact now or simply the repeating of a lie to the point it's become truth. And actually, I find it so tragic. Having been through the medical system, having experienced the protocols, recognizing that they are literally killing, murdering, it's crimes against humanity based upon government-mandated protocols that are foisted upon institutions that accept the money. You get more money if you diagnose certain things. You get more money if you use certain protocols. And that is exactly how this is becoming polluted. Follow the money, people. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And our Supreme Court just betrayed the nation again. I mean, in many ways, I think we could say they are public enemy number one because they're facilitating the destruction of the limited government that was originally established as to make us the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous nation on earth. And we are, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. I once was in an avalanche. It wasn't a very big one, and I didn't end up with any bad results. But it started small, it started moving, it swept me up in it, and it ultimately and finally dumped me in a real bad situation. But the fact of the matter is that's where we're going with a general government that is out of control because of the criminal rulings of people like Kavanaugh and Roberts. They're not conservatives in the sense that most people think of conservatives. They're big government manipulators, and they're there for a reason. They were chosen because they will stand for that. Roberts said specifically, abortion is a settled law. It's not. It was a bad decision in 1973. By the way, the 49th anniversary is coming up quickly. It was a bad decision when it was made. It's still a bad decision, and they do not have the authority to say it's okay to kill babies before they're born. The whole thing is a travesty, and we go along because the lie has been told to us so often, so completely, from the time you start your education until any time on the news. And, oh, yeah, this is the way it is. No, it's not.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. His whole goal in life, to preserve the nation. Thus, his collegiate series on the topic, available at freedomsrisingsun.com. I want to make this very clear. I'm not advocating to just jettison the filibuster. I'm just telling you that the current modern implementation is bogus. We got to return to the founders' intent of a filibuster. We got to make sure that certain senators don't have more power than other senators, wrongly so by rules and manipulations of the founders' intent. We got to be very careful. The idea to slow down legislation and have appropriate debate and accountability, absolutely vital. No doubt about it. And the Supreme Court, what a disgrace they've become. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.